Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week,
with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Here we go, off and running in a two-hour adventure, folks. We call Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman. How are you tonight, Logs?
I'm doing good. And by the way, that little liner there from Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men, one of my roommates from college was a star in that movie.
Who?
Brian Wolfgang Bodison, the tall black defendant Marine. Was my roommate in college. Was a safety force at the University of Virginia.
Okay. He's been in other stuff, too.
No, I don't know.
Not a lot?
No. Good call, Osh.
Not seen
just a little you know, a mean nothing factoid here.
Right.
He was actually
like
working.
The first one?
Yes. Exactly.
Like I said, it's an adventure tonight, folks.
He actually was an art major at college, was working in the mailroom for Rob Reiner, and Rob Reiner said, Brian, he saw him, you know, just thinking about the role, and said, yeah. Hey, Brian, you ever done any acting? Brian said, no. And he said, I want you to read for a part. That's how he got the part.
No kidding. Now, is he still acting?
I don't know.
Okay. Tony Boselli is here, getting ready for the telecast of Friday night's game. Tony, how are you?
I'm ticked off.
All right, and we're going to get there.
Yeah, but I'm not going to start there. We'll go back to Osh.
Well, let's at least say hello to John.
Before, and I have no meaningless tidbit to share with you like Jeff did.
I'm not mad, and I have no tidbit, so let's go to Tony.
All right, here we go. So, Tony. It has been a consistent theme through training camp that things in Jacksonville are not going well. And I should say this, consistent theme from outside of Jacksonville that things are not going that well here, whether it's ProFootballTalk.com, someone on ESPN, some talk show.
NFL Network. They're pretty good about doing their homework.
You would think.
Not.
So look,
not this week.
It all came to a head today when you picked up the phone to do a sports talk show.
No. Tony
was ticked off.
Tony was fired up before that because of the NFL Network's job of reporting.
That just put me over the top of, you know.
Tell the story.
Sometimes I wonder if everyone here in Jacksonville and everyone in this building is like in some psychotic state that we don't know that the reality is different than the one we're living in. Because if you were to ask everyone outside of this building and everyone outside the city limits of Jacksonville, we all are miserable, hate our head coach, longing just to move and hope to get by with one or two wins this year in our complete disarray as a franchise. Now, if you ask everyone in the building and around the building and the fan base, there's never been more excitement, more energy, more hope, and greater enthusiasm. The head coach is doing an outstanding job. Our quarterback's progressing. We have a top five defense. We got our first round draft pick in. We have an owner that is committed to the city. Is investing millions and millions of dollars in facilities and players.
And they just announced all these different improvements for the fan experience at the stadium today.
I mean, and so I'm like, it gives me a headache and just drives me crazy. When you pick up the paper, read the internet, or listen to some ignorant talking head that has no clue what he's talking about but has read some blog from someone who's never even been to Jacksonville and decides to jump on the bandwagon to make comments about a team and a franchise that are so off base that it's unprofessional and it's almost embarrassing to read. And then on top of that, you sit down and I do an interview this afternoon, and the first question I get – and it was an interview outside this, outside the state of Florida. The first question I get is, "Wow, you're in the pride of the Jaguars and yada yada. You're part of the franchise. You probably have a real insight why the franchise is in such disarray." And I literally paused and I said, "What? Disarray?" And I wanted to say, "I said, well, you're completely wrong. That's ridiculous to say that. You're completely wrong." And I said, frankly, the national media is ignorant. Because they are. They're unprofessional and ignorant in the reporting of a Jacksonville. And yesterday what was done by NFL Network was, I'm flabbergasted that a league-owned entity would be that unprofessional with one of its own assets. For Mike Lombardi to make comments about Blaine Gabbert and this offense and this franchise that somehow Chad Henne is outperforming in Black. And this has nothing – I'm not talking bad about Chad Henne, but is outperforming Blaine Gabbert and is pushing him for the starting job. Which is so far from the truth. It's like, Mike,
and
did
even
you
the
just
most
make that up?
People haven't said that.
I mean, were you just drawing pictures and drew something out of the hat? And said,
don't try to talk yet.
Boy,
Tony's
this sounds good. Let me open up the fortune cookie and read what it says. Hey, the Jaguars are in disarray. I mean, it's ridiculous. And Heath Evans, who's Heath Evans? I know I'm supposed to know him. Who is he? Who is he, Jeff?
He was a fullback, took a lot of hits to the head.
My goodness. I mean, talk about CTE and let's do a brain study. I mean.
Somehow I don't think John or I could get away with saying that, but you can't since you play.
I took head shots to the head. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right. But that was the most asinine comment.
The guy said there is a disconnect between Mike Mularkey and the players.
Did he miss what happened here on Sunday?
Does he happen to talk to a player?
Has he ever talked to a player?
Hey, every player I've talked to loves Mike Mularkey.
Holy cow. And I don't mean to make light of CTE. It's a serious issue. But like Jeff said, it's like hits to the head. Do you just make up stuff? And so it's so, so disappointing on one hand because you get tired of hearing it. And John and Brian, you and I were all talking about it before the show started. In today's media, social media, the lack of real journalism by so many different people, that type of information starts to shape the opinions of people about your product and about your franchise. And if someone who loves this organization and loves what's going on here and is so excited about Mike Mularkey and Shad Khan and what they've done and the changes they've made. And all of you know, there's been no one more critical in the past of this organization at the same time when things – I mean, I think we're pretty fair and call spade a spade most of the time.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't get as wound up as Tony. I get disappointed that the homework is not done because my belief is one thing. The truth will set you free, okay? And we know what the truth is, okay? We know that this organization – has taken a huge step in the right direction and is taking steps every day. And we know that the only way to validate that to those that don't know is by this team winning in September and rolling along. That's what it's going to be.
Ultimately, that is. I agree with you, Jeff. Ultimately, wins and losses determine the fate of every franchise and the fate of every head coach and every player in this league. If you win, you stay, and what you do is validated by wins and losses. Mike Mularkey understands that. Blaine Gabbert understands that. Every player understands it. And ultimately, Shad Khan is going to evaluate everyone based on that. But to somehow make comments that the franchise is in disarray, that it's a ship without a rudder in the middle of the ocean, bobbling around, hoping to land somewhere, is ridiculous. We have an owner who knows exactly what he wants to do and where he's going and has built a staff with a president, a GM, and a head coach that is going where he wants to go. Everything from trying to get an international game in London, which I think is outstanding for the city and the franchise, to investing $3 million plus in a locker room, to making sure
that was only phase one.
Making sure the players are taken care of in a manner that NFL players are taken care of. I mean, all those things. This guy is smart.
All right, so let's all turn the attention to Johnny O here. Johnny, what in the world are these guys doing?
You're a journalist. Stick up for your kind.
No, I can't stick up for that because the reality is most of the people who make the comments that start this, I don't consider journalists. Mike Lombardi, Heath Evans.
Well, yeah, Mike Lombardi's a former
being in the media
scout.
Does not make you a journalist.
Fair enough. I agree.
And – that's not to say that all journalists have done a great job of.
I was going to say, I could name some of your own kind that have done similar things.
You could, but generally speaking, the journalists who have come in here during this training camp and seen it.
But stop right there. You just said something key, John.
Right.
The ones who have come in here.
Right.
The ones who come in here, Paul Krakowski. He is AFC South
ESPN
blogger, I guess, or reporter, whatever he is. He had some negative things to say and positive things. I am fine with that.
Right.
If a guy spends the time and to do his homework to talk to players and to be here and then wants to make comments that are negative about Blaine Gabbert, about Mike Mularkey, about the franchise, that is your job. And if it's an op-ed opinion, make an opinion and go with it. Peter King does the same thing.
Pete Prisco.
They come here, they spend time. But for once, someone who sits in L.A. watching a telecast of a video of one practice and makes those comments, you know he's never just by that. And Mike Lombardi, I had respected what he's done in the past because it seemed like he was a guy who made phone calls and figured out what was going on. But the comment he said about Henny and Gabbert made me realize instantly he hadn't picked up the phone and called one person.
No. And it's very difficult when you have to talk about 32 teams from a distance to get everything right. But it's frankly, it's also difficult to be as wrong as they were yesterday.
I'd have more respect for you just saying, listen, I haven't talked to anyone down there.
I can't say that.
I know, but at least be honest.
Right.
Well, here's the problem. They're a problem in and of themselves. But the real problem is that their employers, the ESPNs of the world, the NFL networks of the world, that's what they want. They want there to be something that has us talking and people tweeting and Facebook everywhere. They used to be concerned, Tony, with getting it right and journalistic integrity. But the problem starts at the top now.
Being right is not very important, flashy, and very often anymore.
It's a shame. For two people that went to journalism school, I'm telling you, it's a complete shame.
But again, what you have to remember is the talking heads, people like Heath Evans and Mike Lombardi, I get these questions all the time. As a journalist, what do you think? I have no opinion on Heath Evans and Mike Lombardi as journalists.
But you know they drive journalism. And forget that for just
they
a
drive
second.
Discussion and buzz and conversation.
Well,
hopefully they drive journalism.
But perception and reality here. When people saw that story, Vito had the tweet. Vito's a journalist. Vito had the tweet about 1-for-12 and had no context in it. Right. Then a kid at Pro Football Talk,
wasn't a very good tweet.
Right. Writes a story about it with no context. He called no one. He had not been here. He writes a story. So then all of a sudden, now what you have is you have Vito and Gene and you all having to comment on that. And people read you guys commenting on it, all of a sudden it's news.
That's how more of a commentary on the Twitter age we live in than Vito.
But it drove it, though.
But it drove it. There's also no question.
Two things, and I know we got to go to break. I'll say it quickly. One.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I'm not holding my breath.
It's a tough room, Tony.
Touche.
Okay, clock. Go ahead.
You know what I tell the NFL Network? I said, don't call me for our guys. We're done. You know what? If you're going to be that irresponsible, then just, you know, go talk about someone else that you want, what you want to do anyways. But don't ask me for Blaine Gabbert or Mike Mularkey when we start playing well and you want to talk to him then.
Loggy, they call you on NFL Network as a former player and radio analyst, right?
During the regular season they have.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bocelli might want to take a guest shot in that role.
No, they talked to me last year too. And frankly, it's just,
I think if you would just say you all are ignorant on NFL Network, it would be incredible.
You think
Hickens got a lot of play from his little rant about Bob Costas? Imagine what you would have.
And here's the second thing that I'm going to say about that. Let me tell you the problem is guys like me and Jeff. That's the problem. Ex-athletes who get in those chairs and don't do their homework.
The jockocracy.
That's very commonplace, unfortunately.
That is the problem. They don't work. They don't read. They don't talk. They don't watch film. Right. They don't know what teams are doing. They get paid because of what they did in the past, and they get up and say things that, frankly, are wrong.
Okay, Joe.
Oh.
Now, I don't want to say.
Why I brought it
no,
into this
only, only because everyone should know that these two are not part of that, and you should say it. You should say it.
You don't want to say it?
No, I want you to say it.
Of course I'll say it. Yes, of course neither one of you are part of this because I see what you do every day.
No, but I appreciate that. But that, I mean, let's just, I mean, if I think Jeff will agree with me. The problem is us, is the ex-athlete who gets up there and get jobs.
Well, it's not just that.
That's the biggest issue.
There's a lot of things that go into it. That's why I'm not a big fan of Twitter. You know,
and I get 100 questions.
That whole thing.
They do the same thing in the smoke screen business. The smoke screens are real bad.
Right, we got a break, folks. When you need a truck that works for you, even when you're not working, the 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest lasting, full size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jaguars, and we roll on right after this. Jaguars this week on Jaguars Radio. Well, visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets, the slow smoked, pulled, and sliced meats basket for $7.99 or for just a little more. Choose between two other mouthwatering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We've got news coming up in about 4 minutes. Anything left to say on this? Or, I mean,
let's talk some football now.
I was going to say, because at this point, I think a lot of folks are tired of listening to them and probably won't so much anymore.
Well, and Jeff said it best at the end. You know, let's win. Let's go. Let's win ball games. Let's keep on doing. If you keep on doing the right thing long enough and making good decisions, what this franchise is under Mike Mularkey, under Shad Khan, you will win.
I do want
to. And you will go in the right direction, and you will shut everyone up.
It takes reality, or it takes perception a while to catch up with reality.
I do want to say,
and
this.
It's going to take some time.
The one that caught me the most off guard was Heath Evans' comment about a disconnect.
It's laughable.
Because I've sat right, here well, on it, Mondays
you
with
just,
him.
If you knew Heath Evans before and you've ever watched him and listened to him,
he's a fullback.
Having played
the
game, and I've worked in the media business now for a long time,
right.
So I can get it. Heath Evans is a buffoon.
All okay, right.
Just understand that, and then you just totally disregard anything that he says, and don't even worry.
But
about
I do want you all to make the point as former players.
Oh, I love it.
The relationship that exists right now, because it's pretty clear that these guys like playing for Mike Mularkey.
Oh gosh,
it's not been a story in this town, so people don't know the positive side of it.
I'll say this: one unnamed guy, because I don't want to get into who said it. What a great atmosphere it is that Mike Mularkey is a straight shooter. You know what he says he means. We practice hard, and he takes care of us afterwards. Everything he said, we have done, and they love playing for the guy.
And he has taken exactly the right tone in the sense, I had a player tell me this week, he's not their buddy, but he gets them.
Yeah,
he gets
not,
what they need. He gets what they want. And, you know, and again, as we've always said, it's all going to come down to winning. But through the course of, 6 or 7 months he's been here, he could not have been more pitch perfect so far.
He's not looking for friends. He doesn't want the players to be his friends. There is a separation, but they trust him. And they trust right. them and respect them. And that's all a player wants. The players aren't looking for friends either. They want a guy they respect and they can trust what he says is going to happen.
He reminds me a lot of just watching kind of how the attention to detail is. He reminds me a lot of Tom Coughlin without the yelling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a very definite Coughlin-esque approach to
without the key thing, without the yelling.
Without the yelling and the real rough edges to the players, you know. He's not coddling. You don't see anything remotely close to Kyle. He is not a player's coach, but he's also not, a dictator coach either. You know, he seems to have that middle of the road kind of feel to it, and I think that's perfect.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
Well, the approach matters far less than is the head coach willing to set a standard and be consistent every day. And to me, that's really what it, you know, Mike reminds me a lot of Tony Dungy, who I worked with in Indy for 7 years, personality-wise. But Tom and Tony had very similar, you know, things, not personality-wise, but in their ability to have the players understand every day what is expected. And however you get to that is the key, and Mike's been able to get to that with his style.
And I think a good example to kind of wrap this up is, this is a team that practices very hard. They work hard. There is no standing around. There is, Jeff said, the attention to detail. He is a tough coach. He expects a lot. He gets after them. But at the same time, he gets it, and this is where I think the ex-player comes in, he knows when to give a little bit of a bone, letting Aaron Ross go to the Olympics, bringing the players and the fans in to watch Sonya run the 400. Today, getting everyone in the team meeting room to watch Sonya compete for the 200. Doing the little things. People listening probably think, well, what's the big deal about that? As a player, that means everything. Because you're working your tail off, and they're whipping you to get better and to be better, and they're on you. And then every once in a while, that little bone just softens up the edges a little bit and builds a little bit of a bridge.
It's amazing he thought of that, considering how distant he is from the players.
I'm surprised he even knew that Aaron Ross had
disconnect and everything. Yeah,
I'm surprised he knew he was married.
All right, we'll sign off the first half hour of Jaguars this week. Three more of these to come. We'll go till 8 o'clock. First 2 hour edition this evening, and the first half hour is brought to you by our friends at Football Fanatics. News is next. All right, folks, we're kicking off the two-hour version of Jaguars This Week in style. We started with a general complaint about the way in which the Jaguars are being perceived by those outside of Jacksonville. And so Tony had some issues, and it has, through the magic of the Twitterverse, come to the attention of Mike Lombardi, who works for the NFL Network. And, be respectful with this, an honest discussion of differences of opinion. And we give a lot of credit to Mike Lombardi for picking up the phone and bringing it here. So from the NFL Network and a longtime NFL personnel man, Mike, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. First, I'd like to get, I hear I'm getting ripped. What I said on the air, and I made a mistake on a name of the player, but what I said on the air very clearly was that Chad Henne signed a contract with Jacksonville because he felt he could beat Blaine Gabbert out. I never said he was practicing better than Blaine Gabbert, that he was going to be the starter. What I said was he signed there because of that. And then I went into an evaluation of Blaine Gabbert, which all I have to base it on is the games he played last season. So I don't really understand what all the hoopla is about and what the people are lying and this and perception of Jacksonville's team in the national media. The reality of it is, I think, Tony, you would well admit this, Blaine Gabbert must improve leaps and bounds on his play last year for that team to be successful.
And, Mike, I have no issue with that at all. I have no issue with the fact that Blaine Gabbert needs to be better if this team's going to improve. And you watch the tape, we watch the tape, and I think anyone who watched that. Now, I do disagree with a little bit of the national perception of why he struggled and some of the comments that have been made, and I'm not saying you said this, but nationally.
Well, I've been one of his harshest critics because what I saw him do last year, and you played the game at left tackle, and you've seen other players play, what I've seen, and I think if you talk to anybody who really understands the game from the coach's standpoint, I think what Blaine did last year is a little bit concerning. In fact, Daniel Jeremiah, who was on our air at the same time, mentioned that his eye level was lower than he's ever seen. And I think those are things that have to be concerning. Can he recover from them? Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah, but Mike, I guess the issue I have with even that is the fact that the analysis that's done often is looking at it from a distance and not even evaluating what the situation was here in Jacksonville and the culture and what Blaine Gabbert was dealing with from a coaching staff standpoint, from the offense, how he's being coached, and what the expectations and what he was told coming in and what the plan was for him to do coming into the situation he was. He had a lamed-out coaching staff. He had a guy coaching quarterbacks that was a wide receiver coach, and it was a very difficult situation. And if you watch the tape, there was improvement from the second half of the year till the end of the year, and that gets lost. I'm not saying he doesn't need to get better.
I didn't see that because I watched every game, and I mean beauty. One thing about personnel is beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and we can all have different evaluations, and we've all made our share of mistakes in evaluating talent. But I think the most concerning factor to me is I didn't see that improvement, and I didn't see the change in him in terms of being able to win his teammates over. And
yeah, but right there, let's stop right there. Mike, winning his teammates over, have you talked to anyone in the locker room? Have you been in? Well, do you understand what the locker room's like here and how the players feel about Blaine Gabbert? Have you talked to his offensive lineman? I have. Have you watched him interact? Have you seen how he's handled this offseason in the OTAs, how he's handled training camp?
Those are all great, but I think the reality of last year, when you talk to people last year, and maybe those coaches aren't there anymore, and that's part of the reason, is there was not a lot of people that truly believed that he was doing that. So this year is a fresh year, and I said on the air, he's got to come out and show that he's all those things, Tony, you believe he is, and let's hope he is.
Let me jump in here. Hey, Michael, Jeff Lagerman here. How you doing, buddy?
Great.
Did you use the term, somebody told us, you used the term that Chad Henne was quote-unquote lights out in training camp?
No, I have never said that. I haven't watched a Jacksonville practice, so how would I say he's lights out?
Okay.
I never said this very simply. I said that Chad Henne signed in Jacksonville because he thought he could beat Blaine Gabbert out.
Well, there was a Twitter associated with you,
right?
He said that he was more consistent in training camp, and Blaine Gabbert was struggling in training camp.
I never said that. I said that that, first of all, if you listen to anything I say on the air, I'm very clear about it. You cannot evaluate players in preseason scrimmages or on the practice field when the quarterback's not in live contact. Okay, the games are going to tell a true tale. And I think ultimately that's what we'll see. When he plays his first preseason game, his second preseason game, that's what he'll do. And I think the reality of it is there's been words that have been skewed around on Twitter, which is fine. Look, people, one thing you love about the NFL, the name fan comes from fanatic. And there truly are a lot of Jacksonville fanatics, and I think it's great. And I have nobody disagree, I have no problem with anybody disagreeing with my opinion. I have a lot of problem with people questioning my work habits. Or that I just mail stuff in, because I think if they would spend a day in my life, I think they would know that's not true. And that's why I called today, because it's very irritating to me to take some of the abuse. The cursing online to me shows, really, we're talking about a football player's evaluation, and I don't curse about it. But the reality is, you know, when
who was
cursing?
No one here was cursing.
Man, we're ready.
People on Twitter, but I'm talking about on Twitter. I was referring to Twitter there. My point is this. He's got to play better. And I think everybody that has studied him, that has been in the NFL or is part of the NFL, realizes that.
No one would disagree with you that he needs to play better. We were 5-11 last year. I think everyone understands that the team needs to play better, and it's a quarterback league.
And he hasn't played a game yet. So, look, how many players have you guys both played with, Jeff and Tony, have you played with that have been good practice players that when the game comes they don't play good?
There's been a few, but there's been more that have played better in practice that translated to game day.
And Mike, how many quarterbacks? I mean, listen, and you are a guy who's done this. You are not.
Yeah,
I mean, you have done this for a living and had success. How many quarterbacks have you watched in your time of 30 plus years of watching the NFL that progress from their rookie year to their second year?
And, Michael, I can go back and talk about Troy Aikman's rookie year when we thought he was a deer in the headlights, scared to death, and he turned out great.
Yeah, and he was 0-11. He's one of the guys. You know, there's other guys. I mean, John Elway was 4-6. You know, but there are certain qualities that a quarterback shows. And whether it's David Carr, Rick Meyer was 6-10 as a rookie. You know, Kyle Buller was 5-4 as a rookie. You can't go by just the numbers. I think you have to go by the evaluation and you have to study it. Look, I think it's great that he has so much support down there from the people and the players. That's great, but it's going to come down to the game. It's going to come down to him playing well.
We all agree with that. The problem is the comments. And if you're saying the comments that are being associated with you on Twitter are not accurate and that you did not say that, that's one thing. That's fine. I trust you. You're a respected guy. You have a history of doing your work and studying and analyzing football. But the frustration here is, as you turn on the NFL Network and listen to the commentary that is made about this team
and this franchise
and about the quarterback, in my opinion, it's borderline unprofessional, because most of the people have never been here, have talked to people in the locker room, or have spent time evaluating of what's going on. They've seen snippets of a game on TV, or they've read articles and have jumped to conclusions about a completely different year, a new coaching staff, new ownership, a second-year player who is give him a chance to progress, because the situation he was in last year was very difficult, and nobody talks about that.
Well, I think everybody's trying to be, you know, optimistic. I know Pete Prisco.
Optimistic?
Oh, Mike, there was terms used on the NFL Network, and the terms disarray and disconnect were used with what's going on here now.
Look, Blaine had a bad year. For you guys are there, you say, hey, the bad offense. Okay, well, that offense, you know, talk to people in Atlanta. They think that offense is going to turn the world around. They think that's the greatest offense they could possibly ever have. Who's going to be right? They thought the offense in Atlanta last year was the worst. So any fan base is going to be predicated upon what they have now. And all I'm saying to you is, from an evaluator standpoint, from somebody who's done this for a living, who studied quarterbacks, I just say there's certain things that Blaine's going to have to do increasingly better to prove that he can carry a team and be the franchise quarterback. And I think anybody who watches the game tape and watches the preseason would share that opinion.
I've also said
on television they've got a really good defense. I've also said that they're the kind of team that if they're going to have to try to win close games, that they've got the best field goal kicker. They could run the football effectively. I've never said it was dysfunctional. I said their defense needs a pass rusher. All the things that I've talked about with the team have been what the evaluation of the team. I have nothing against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, I'm not. I don't think anyone says you have everything against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but it's also difficult, I think, to make evaluations 2 weeks into a training camp without ever being in the camp or at least talking to individuals in the building to find out what's going on. Is there progression? Is the offense, are people progressing in the right way, or is there a panic because he can't do it?
Here's my view on that, and I subscribe to the Red Auerbach view on that. I've always believed you get your information from looking, not from talking. And
okay.
So, for me,
I agree with you, Mike. How much have you seen this training camp?
I said it on the air. It's going to be important for him to get off to a good start.
I'm not
concerned about. I mean, look, some fans said to me he threw for 65 yards in the preseason scrimmage. Really? That's going to be good for you? I mean, that's what you want to hold your hat on when a guy can't get hit. Nobody knows. I mean, to me, it's about doing it in a game, coming out, having a couple good series. Hey, I'm not going to judge him in the first preseason game. I'm going to wait until he gets some more time. But we judge football based on what we see on the game tape. And if you'd like to come back to my office and sit with me at NFL Films and watch the game tape, I'd be more than happy to do it with you.
Well, Mike, we personally watch a lot of game tape here. And, I want to make sure that it's nothing personal with you and Blaine Gabbert, because I know that he kind of said, who's Mike Lombardi at one point, and you responded to that pretty vehemently.
Well, what I tried to do was write something to him that was going to be not as a motivational, but this is what you need to do. I think honesty to players is the only way you gain respect. I mean, if you want me to tell you you're great, then you're going to lose respect from me. To me, you have to talk to players in an honest way, and you have to be really good and bad. And fans, they only understand the good. I get that. I understand that. But the profession requires honesty amongst everybody in the building that's trying to ultimately get to a goal. And the number one thing you can't do as an organization is misevaluate your own team. You've got to really be good at doing that, and you've got to make sure you have the right pieces. And I think that for Blaine to take the giant step forward, he needs to do certain things to increase his play. That's what I tried to write. That's all I tried to write. It was not – there's a difference between coaching and criticism. I wasn't trying to be critical. I was trying to coach. Now, that's all I'm saying. And really, the reality of it is I hope he does. But I think this is an important step for him, and I think it's an important for everybody who's watching him in the Jacksonville Jaguar organization. I think there's obviously some concern that he has to do these things. I don't think I'm saying anything that nobody in that building wouldn't say.
No, I think everyone – listen – nobody is sitting here saying that 5-11, that we're sitting there, they're resting on the laurels of what they did last year. What is frustrating, a lot has changed, and it's a completely new system, new staff, heck, new ownership in some of the comments that have been made. And I'm going to go try to find – I'd love to go see what you did, because I didn't watch the NFL Network yesterday. I'd love to go find if someone has a DVR or something. I'd love to go see what exactly was said, because what – has been reported as being said is very difficult to understand how that can be said without watching or being here or talking to people. No one is saying, Mike, that we're making evaluations and all of a sudden we think everything's fixed because of 2 weeks of training camp. Everyone knows you evaluate. We watch the tape during the preseason, the four preseason games, and ultimately this team is going to be evaluating Blaine Gabbert, what he does in the regular season. But I think you got to give the team and the kid a chance to get there.
I'm all for that. I mean, look, I'm all for it. Look, I work for Al Davis, okay? So I'm not thin-skinned, all right? I'm really not. I'm not thin-skinned. I'm a big boy. I can handle criticism with anybody. And when you spend 10 years working for him, you can be called a lot of things and still get up in the morning and feel good about yourself. But the reality of it is I just wanted to call and make it very clear about what my expectations are and where I'm going to go. And I'm not going to rush to judgment to just say, hey, they should get rid of the guy. I'm going to sit there and watch the game tape. And if he plays well, I'll say, hey, look, he's played really well. He's the leader strength of the team. If he plays poorly, I'll say that. That's what I get paid to do. But I'm going to watch the tape. I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to look at the football team. I'm going to see the players around them. And I'm going to make an evaluation. And I've been very, very positive about the new ownership. I think Tony Khan's a bright young guy who's got a lot of great ideas. I met him at the combine. When he came over with Belichick, and I were sitting there having dinner, and spent a lot of time with him. So I'm optimistic for the team, and I like to see the team win. But I think there's got to be some progress at certain positions, and that's all I'm trying to say. And I don't really worry about what other people think, but I really worry about when I'm being misquoted. And I never said lights out for Chad Henne because I have not seen that.
Thank you, Mike, for picking up the phone and giving us a call. And we hope we see you in Jacksonville this year for a game.
Well, if they'll send me, I'd love to go. But I know this, Brian. I'll watch every single game tape. You can promise yourself that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike. And have Heath Evans call us if you run into him in the hallway. It's Mike Lombardi. We take a break and return with more right after this. What do we have, about 30 seconds here? That was a good segment of radio. It just went really, really long. So,
well, you know, the only thing I'd like to say there is that when you say that you're not thin-skinned, you worked for Al Davis for 10 years, but that when some local radio show, you know, calls you out and then you immediately respond, to me that's kind of a show of thin skin. Just my personal opinion.
Hey, and that's all we're sharing.
And that's all, you know.
I'll say this. You got to give the guy.
I'll give him credit. He picked up the phone and he called.
And we all respect people who have strong opinions and are willing to share them.
But I'm just going to go back to when Blaine Gabbert was asked about what Michael Lombardi wrote, and this was last year. And Blaine honestly answered, said, "Who's Michael Lombardi?" Not trying to be, you know, demeaning in any way. And Michael Lombardi turned around and wrote this big, long letter to Blaine Gabbert. Really? I mean, really? I mean, you're going to write an open letter to Blaine Gabbert and put it on a blog, and you're not thin-skinned because Blaine Gabbert said, "Who's Michael Lombardi?" when he honestly didn't know? I mean,
yeah.
I just shake my head at that and go, thin skin, not thin skin, you know.
I'm reading all the tweets.
My understanding is he also discussed our, you know, the team captain, Rashard Mathis. So I'm not sure what we're doing.
Rashard Mathis? Yeah, that's pretty good. That's
accurate. You know, and again, I wish we had the tape. I've heard from many people that he called.
I'm going to find the dang tape.
Penny lights out and discussed extensively, or I shouldn't say extensively, but discussed how they had been playing in camp. That was a gist of.
He said
of what
he didn't
discussed.
Do that.
Well,
he said he didn't do it.
And again.
So it's he said,
right.
He said, but listen, here's the bottom line. I respect anyone's opinion.
Do your homework, folks.
I don't respect an opinion that is not based on some sort of facts or watching what is going on. And if you want to make general comments about last year, that's fine.
Right.
Watching the tape. I do think if you're going to start digging in, you have to look at the overall situation and make – it's dangerous just to hone in on one thing. And then on top of that, we are now sitting here, and all of us agree, Blaine Gabbert will ultimately be evaluated once the game starts. I don't think any of us disagree with that.
No.
But to give the guy credit for what he's done and to question, like Mike did, that he doesn't command respect in the locker room from the players – is ridiculous because it's not true.
Great. Now we have got to break for news, and we are going to have to find Heath Evans because hour number two has a lot of work to do to catch up to hour number one. News is next. All right, well, we've got the NFL Network on right now here in the radio studio, and the buffoon is on
Jeff's
in all his
favorite
glory.
Analyst.
He no longer has the name Heath Evans, at least not on these airwaves, the buffoon. So if you know somebody
going to say that, you know, this team has got a discord
well,
or
air,
disconnect,
right.
I mean that's terrible.
He's
never even been here.
Well, I don't know whether I don't think he's on Twitter. I've gotten a lot of messages from people who have said that he left Twitter, but maybe someone could tweet at NFL Network for us. And say, hey, the guys really want to talk to the buffoon.
Now, look,
he's not. It's 800-355-6351.
If you're going to be a talking head, be accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and.
By the way, I just
you laugh, John. Like, that's something that's, you know.
I want to read a couple comments. We all have them. The Twitter's just exploded. How about this one? Will there be a podcast for all the gloriousness that happened? This is some great radio. Fantastic way to start the 2-hour program. Jaguars this week 2.0. Don't stop. Pleased. Best Jaguars this week so far. Loving it down under. I mean, just on and on and on. But here's the point. It shows just how much frustration the loyal fan base has with the perception of this franchise from the national media.
Well, I get it, you know, because you get tired of hearing the negativity, you know, of being, you know, a target. And it's time for that to quit. And the way to stop that is you win football games.
Yep.
And I have the belief, and hey, look, I've been out there every day watching them practice, every day.
And I think that's
I love what I'm seeing, and I think it's getting better every day.
I think that's the frustrating thing is what we're trying to cover here is the story of how this team's progressing. And when you're out there every day, it's difficult to deny that there's progress being made. Vito, who's as cynical and as hard-edged a reporter as you ever want to meet, you talk to him on the sideline and said, yeah, there's no question they're progressing. Now, you know, is it every day? Is it every day huge leaps? No, you're not going to get that in camp. But anybody who's been here can see progress. And that's what's frustrating is when you see it and you know it's there and all you hear are, well, last year they were this. Well, last year they were this. Well, yeah, we get that it's got to show on the field. But when you're covering this story, which is training camp 2012, there's progress, and as a result, there's hope.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And it's frustrating for all the reasons you said. And not only the Blaine Gabbert stuff, but the overall view of the franchise
It's going to take winning, and then it's going to take some time because, you know, perception changes slowly.
And it's going to happen. Hey, one bright spot this week, Justin Blackmon's in camp.
He is, and that was important for this franchise.
Yep.
They had to get one of those two guys, the one they could control, off the books.
And that takes a target away from the talking heads.
And right. don't you think it was more important to get Justin here than Maurice?
Yeah, I think so, because you went 5-11 with Maurice.
I don't want to gauge either one. I think they're both important to have. I mean, because they're both good football players.
No, you want as many good football players as you possible.
But the quarterback needed the weapon.
Well, I'm talking about not just from the weapon and the fact that we talked about it's a passing league and you need more weapons outside. Also, I think we'd all agree if Maurice gets into camp a week from now, he'll be ready for the regular season. I mean, the guy's played for 7 years. He knows how to play football. Justin's a rookie. It's a longer learning curve for him. So I think it was more important to get him in as quickly as possible so he could be productive for the year. Maurice has more leeway. Now, he needs to be here. I understand it, and I don't want to get into how much money he's losing. It makes no sense to me. But if he gets in here with at least a couple weeks before the regular season, I think he'll be ready to play.
And Justin Blackmon's contract, let's go there for a minute.
Well, I think it's important that they got it done right. You know,
absolutely.
And to me, it holds firm on the principle of doing it financially right this offseason. I mean, Shad Khan came out and said, we're not giving Maurice Jones-Drew a new contract. And the Jaguars came out, and I don't recall who it was that made the comment, it was probably Gene, was that we're not going to put $20 million at risk. We're going to make sure that we get protection for the franchise. And they did. They got a good deal for the franchise.
Yeah, and I read somewhere, and I don't remember where it was, that, you know, the whole contract is guaranteed. No. That's not the case. The contract part that is guaranteed is the $7.1 million, and then the rest of the bonus that he would have gotten if he didn't have this issue.
Right. He got about 40% deferred that he
deferred,
has to stay
and has roster
to
bonuses.
Get.
If he has an issue, those roster bonuses don't get paid out.
Now, Jeff, it is guaranteed, though, on performance. It's just not guaranteed on off-the-field trouble.
Right.
But it should be guaranteed on performance.
And I agree. Correct. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it's right.
There's a difference there, and I think that needs to be explained to people. You know, the team got protection that if Justin has an incident, that they can be off the hook for future salaries and future roster bonuses. If there's no issue, then he's going to make all of his money and make the amount of money that he should have made in the slotted system.
Right.
But I just don't like the fact that there was a winner declared, and that winner was Justin Blackmon or Todd France, I believe his agent was.
That's the agent.
To me, it's not about who wins. It's about what's right and what's fair and what's accurate. And to me,
accurate's the key.
The team got protection, okay, and Justin got the full contract provided there are no issues. That's what was fair, and that's what happened.
The media wrote basically the agent's side of it, and that's what often happens when the media. As somebody who's covered, you know, contract situations, I covered Tony's. You know, when you talk to the agent, the agents are much more forthcoming about what's really going on because it protects their interest. teams generally don't share as much.
From their side.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It protects their
interests.
It
might not be true, but it's how they want to paint the picture.
It's often spun their way, whereas teams benefit far less from sharing the details of what actually happened with the media. So that's why that usually gets spun in the agent's favor.
Well, my understanding is that the deal is if Justin Blackmon were to go out tonight and have a problem, an issue, the Jaguars are protected for all but the 7.1 that he's already been paid.
That's right.
For all of it. So it wasn't $4.8 million over 12 days that they saved. It was 11.5? I mean, that's a great deal for a team. And if he stays clean, it's
a great deal for
him.
Justin, yeah.
Right.
And it's
he
unprecedented to get that for a, you know, for a first-round pick. It may not be all the protection that the Jaguars might have wanted ideally, but it's more than anybody else has ever gotten in this situation.
And I think that what you're saying there is key. That is more than anybody else has ever gotten in the history of the league, as far as I know.
It's a little bit of an unprecedented situation because, you know, Justin's DUI happened between
the worst possible time
right.
for
and camp.
After the draft, before camp. If it had happened before the draft, his draft stock probably plummets too late in the first round. So it's a different it's an unusual dynamic for that incident to happen at a time when it could come up in the contract negotiation.
And now I'm looking forward to him earning every penny of that contract and having
a fantastic year,
which I think he will too. Well, I like him. I mean, we've had a chance to talk with him, after the draft, talked with him today in the locker room, and I like Justin.
He's had a rough start, and there is a lot of pressure on him and more focus on him than there would have been. And he's got a lot to prove.
And I think if you're a competitor – having that little extra to prove sometimes is a good thing and a great motivator.
Well, and Mike Mularkey said, and you don't want this to ever be the motivating factor, but after the DUI incident, he took his game to another level in the OTAs.
Yeah, and you didn't have to listen to Mike say it. You could see
it. No, you could see it, but I'm just saying Mike even said it. I think he said it in the paper the other day.
Yeah.
Before the incident, it was – I'm not saying he was there worried, but he wasn't standing out.
Said it on Jaguars.com.
Jaguars.com there. That's where it was.
Anyway,
that's where you read it.
There was, you know, he was just okay. After the incident, he was dominant at times on the field in the OTAs and playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Well, Mularkey actually said he was even more forthcoming than I think most coaches would have been. He said he had concerns. And I think Jess alluded, when they sat in that press conference, when Justin first talked about the DUI, you could tell they had concerns.
There was people mad.
Yeah, well, they should have been. And they were mad about more than the DUI. They were upset at the way he had approached it so far. Mike's been very clear on that this week. But he's been just as clear as he did things right after that, and that's the model he has to use. That's what he has to do now. And that's his challenge. And, we don't know if he'll do that yet.
I think the kid's going to do it.
But it seems like he will.
I think he's going to be outstanding. So.
All right, here we go with a quick break and more Jaguars This Week, the first two-hour edition of the season, right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Okay, folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart, 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. We got a couple of folks who've been hanging on the line for a while. Let's grab a call or two, and let's go to Saqib on the south side. Guys, put your headsets on. We're going to
stop Twittering over there.
We're talking about.
Hey,
you talking about Heath Evans?
No, just some.
He hadn't called yet, by the way.
He's not going to call.
When he does, we'll let you know. Saqib is on the line. Hello, Saqib.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Pretty good tonight.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Outstanding.
Hey, man, listen. I've been a Jacksonville Jaguar fan ever since I came to the United States of America. Okay, I came here to Jacksonville, and I've been a fan ever since then. Okay. What my problem is with Heath Evans, this little buffoon, this little jackass, pretty much. That he doesn't know what he's. I know he's played for four different teams or 10 years or whatever. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said last night, we'll be lucky if we win four games. They had a little thing on there. Who's gonna win more games, Colts or the Jacksonville Jaguars? And I'm okay with them debating. It's all about that. That's fine. I'm okay with them getting the ratings, whatever they need to get. But what my is, he doesn't know what he's talking about. They need to put people on there who know NFL football, who know a lot better than he does. He's an he's a bad analyst. Okay, what my thing is, I'm happy with this thing with the Jaguars are going with Shaq Khan, with new ownership and new everything. I am excited beyond belief about this team, and I would like all the fans to be the same way I am. And I know all the Jaguars fans are excited like I am, because these little idiots that saw on TV, it's just not fair to talk about a team they don't even know about. They don't even know what Jacksonville is.
Hey, Saki, let me jump in real quick. I appreciate it. And you said something that's key there. A lot of times,
buffoon.
No, but Saqib said, you said it's all about ratings. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah. It's about the shock value of it. And I'm okay if they want to debate who's going to win more between the Colts and the Jaguars. As ridiculous as I think that is, I'm probably biased like you, Saqib. I love the franchise. But I think I could have a pretty honest, healthy debate and have that conversation and put my bias aside. Where I get, and I think what frustrates you, Saqib, and a lot of the fans, is when the shock value is done for ratings on bad information. And when the comments are made, like which Heath Evans said about there being a disconnect between Mike Mularkey and the players, statements like that that could not be further from the truth, that's what bothers people, because that right there is just...
It's inaccurate.
A lack of professionalism, in my opinion.
Tony, can I ask you one more question, please?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. I went to the stadium on the race that happened the other day, and I went to the scrimmage the other day, too. What my thing is, they only have the one part of it covered. Are they going to cover the rest of it, or what's the deal with that?
You mean the tarps that have been in the upper deck?
Yeah. Yeah, they took everything off, pretty much.
Well, I know one thing they've been doing, Saqib, is installing the new sound system. And I think to do that, they had to end up removing the tarp because they're putting the speakers up. So I think it's going to remain the same as it was last year, but they had to take them down because they're still doing a lot of work here improving the sound system. So that's probably what you saw.
Yeah, I was up in the stadium the other day, and from what I could tell, the tarps are back on, and I assume the same amount. I mean, it looked the same to me.
Yeah, I think sellout's still going to – max capacity's still going to be right just under 68,000.
Right, which is a lot.
Which is still one of the larger stadiums in the NFL.
I'm back to the Jaguars this week, and I'm going to be 100% behind the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey, Saqib, thanks for listening.
For the call.
Thanks for calling in, man. Good call.
Have a good one.
All right, appreciate that. We've got
Bill.
Bill? Bill's on the south side. Hello, Bill.
Hello?
You're on, Bill.
Oh, how you doing, fellas? Listen, y'all wanted to give him some kind of this Lombardi guy some credit for calling. I say not at all, because he called for one reason and one reason only. He was going to bowl you guys over because, he's convinced he's better than all of you and us down here. I mean, he's arrogant, condescending, and disingenuous. I mean, the audacity of him to say he was just trying to coach Blaine Gabbert. Who the hell does he think he is?
Nah,
if I were
right.
You guys, I wouldn't take another phone call for him for any reason.
Well, hey,
that's
Bill.
I've been hanging on the phone.
But it was
today.
Such good radio.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Bill. You there?
I hung up.
I love Bill. Because,
Vic.
Yeah, and I was going to tell
Bill. Ever heard
hey,
that?
Bill, I wanted to tell Mike Lombardi, just kiss it.
Hold on. Joe's going to pull up Bill's famous moment
now,
on
it was,
this show.
It was hilarious, and Bill's one of my all-time favorites.
Great, great listener, great fan.
But
I was really just hoping that somehow Bill would find a way to call the NFL Network.
No, but Bill is right. I mean, when Blaine Gabbert said, who's Mike Lombardi?
You have to wonder if it's personal with Mike.
Yeah, you got something written on their website, and you got a video response from him on the NFL Network or whatever. So, hey, it doesn't sound right, when you say, I'm not thin-skinned, and you called in to us, and then you responded to Blaine Gabbert.
Here's Bill. Here's Bill's famous moment on this show. Ready?
Anything. Whether you're right or not, it's not whether
Bill,
you're
it's
right.
Bill, it's what I said. It's not whether you're right.
Whether you're optimistic or not.
Well, yeah, Bill.
You're negative all the time, Vic.
Okay, Bill. See you, buddy.
I don't care whether you're right or not. You need to show a little darn respect and a little hope, man. You got to sell some tickets here.
Okay,
don't
Bill. Please, you're going to make me cry here. All your right. Positivity
Kick
is just
my
so
ass, buddy.
Negative.
Kick it, buddy.
That's the greatest call I've ever heard.
That was
oh, we are reliving
phenomenal.
All the good ones tonight. Absolutely. 355 NFL.
I was in
one.
Bill's corner so much on that one.
I'll never forget that night.
That was great.
All right. So if you've got something for us, folks, bring it at 355-NFL, 1-800-355-635. When we got about 3 minutes before we have to break here. Anything on your mind in particular?
No, just this. You know, it's kind of, and me and John and J.P. Shadrick, our sideline reporter, talked a little bit about this earlier, that it's kind of ironic in that the rebirth of this franchise begins with the first preseason home game against the Super Bowl champions coached by its first coach. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, you know, here it is. You know, this is the rebirth of the Jaguars, and the guy that really kind of was here for the birth of the franchise is coming into town. And I think this is a great matchup. It's a, you know, even though it's preseason still, I mean, you got the Super Bowl champs coming in and the start of something new around here.
And without sounding too sappy, I think Tom would like a whole lot about, you know, the approach right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, not that it's his, you know, he's coaching the other team, so who cares what he thinks. But on that side, I think it's a lot like what he tried, you know, the way he tries to approach.
Well, Tony, you were at the J Fund dinner, mm-hmm. right? And I've had a chance to talk to Tom about Mike, and of course, Mike was there that night. There's a great deal of regard mm-hmm. between these two men for the way that they do things.
Well,
a great deal.
And I'm excited to see Tom, and I get Jeff's right. New York Giants, Super Bowl champs, everything else is great, and Tom being here, and it's a little bit ironic of how the timing of it, and it'll be fun. And I'm looking forward to calling the game on TV and you guys on the radio. But I'm just excited for football.
Me too.
I mean, I know it's preseason, and trust me, as a player, and I know, preseason drug, and it got old after a while, and I know fans, you know, it's tough sometimes because preseason, you know, you're waiting for the regular season. But it's still opening night here in Jacksonville to kick off the season. And preseason or not, I am looking forward to Friday night when this thing kicks off. I cannot wait. I'm looking forward. I'm not going to make final evaluation. And if Blaine has 150 quarterback rating, I'm not going to say we're going to the Super Bowl. Or if he struggles, I'm not going to say it's over. But I'm looking forward to see what the offense looks like. I'm excited to see how Rashad Jennings, what I saw in the scrimmage, if that's the guy we're going to have this year, that's outstanding. So many good things, seeing the rookies play, and Andre Branch and some of those guys, Julian Stanford, the undrafted guy out of Wagner. A lot of fun stuff is going to be Friday night.
Yeah, no, all the on-the-field stuff, I mean, I get. You know, but from a fan's point of view, the improvements in and around the stadium
sound system
that are being worked on, I think they got a lot to look forward to as well. You know, there was a list that was sent out today about all the different improvements. They got a cool zone. You know, the players, when it's hot out, they got that air-conditioned bench.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that for the fans in, like, what, three different locations,
yeah, three
I think.
Locations
they call it the Seabest Cool Zone.
Yep.
You know, they're allowing food into the game and clear Ziplocs. The players now are actually going to walk through what they –
Yeah, it's going to be a whole new entrance. It's going to be very cool.
They're going to call it the Prowl, where the players walk kind of through an
fans
area where fans
right
can
there.
See. You know, I mean, all that stuff designed to have a better fan experience. And to me, I think that's what it's all about.
It's all part of the equation. You know, there's so many good things happening. This is another part of it. You know, for a franchise, as Tony found out today, that's in disarray.
Yeah.
No, the disarray and discord is terrible.
All right, folks.
I'm surprised. Are we even going to be able to field the team Friday night? Are we going to be able to open up the building?
Rumor
will
has.
Anyone show up? I'm nervous. Like,
yeah, will anybody want to put on the jersey for Mike Mularkey?
I don't know. There's a disconnect, Jeff.
Here's what I know is that not many people from the NFL Network are likely to call us anytime soon.
I don't think we're going to be invited on.
Mueller Swiss Watch Company is a proud sponsor and the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. News is next here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Folks, I wish we could read all of the tweets. I mean, John, has yours exploded?
Oh, yeah.
Tony's has. We've been laughing about him for the last 4 or 5 minutes during the break. If you're not on Twitter, Logs, this is for you.
Okay.
It's time to get an account. Just so you can follow stuff like that. Because, Pacelli, am I kidding?
No, it's good stuff.
Well, and what really irritated people is, you know, from what everybody has said, he clearly praised Chad Henne and I talked about how Jaguars practices.
Well, and listen, I haven't listened to the audio, and we're asking for it and trying to find it.
Right.
But from the response on Twitter, everyone saying he basically got on the air and was not truthful at what he said. And so I'm not saying he lied or he didn't. I'm just saying what the Twitter world is saying and Jaguar fans are out there saying. I haven't listened to it. I look forward to someone finding it and us listening to it. But, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, let's – Go ahead. No,
we've got callers. I want to
take some calls. The last segment, we'll take calls. Let's talk a little bit about the defense because we talked a lot about the offense and Blaine Gabbert and everything
else.
How about
the game Friday night?
The game Friday night and talk about –
Well, if you want that, I shouldn't answer any of these calls.
Well, and talk about some of the rookies on defense because I think both of us, Jeff, will agree there's some outstanding guys.
All right, then I'll stay away from the calls because the calls are just going to keep it going. So if you want to talk
football – Let them vent, and
we'll do the last segment on that.
All right, Clint, you're up from Savannah. Good evening.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Excellent, if you can't tell.
Yeah, and I've been listening from the beginning of the show. And, you know, Tony, first of all, I love your passion and the fire. That was great. I live in Savannah. I'm a diehard Jags fan. I drive an hour and a half one way. And I'll
you drive fast.
Yeah. And I'll continue to do it for as long as I can. I met you at the rally you did here in Savannah.
Yeah, hey, thanks for coming out, man. That was a great time. Savannah really showed up, and it was an outstanding evening. And looking forward to next year when we come back up there.
Yeah, but on to this other stuff. You know, last night I was watching the NFL Network. I saw what Heath Evans said, and I wanted to put my fist through my 46-inch LCD TV, and it's just laughable. And you're dead on with how the disconnect outside of Jacksonville is just out of this world. I remember, a few months back, someone saying that Justin Blackmon's agent was saying that he wanted to already be traded off the team. And, you were talking about the Chad Henne thing. I did see where Lombardi had said that he was playing lights out. So Lombardi saying that he didn't say that, well, he's wrong. He did say that because I saw it myself as well. It's great that, it's great to have you guys stand up and kind of defend this stuff. And you're right, Gabbert does got to get better, and we all know that. But at least do your homework before before you say this stuff. And then I was the one that tweeted him and said, he had put that his name was Rashard Mathis when he was talking about Rasheem Mathis. I said, if you're going to at least comment on players, at least get the names right. Especially the NFL Network, one of the more reputable, more and more reputable sites out there talking sport, get the guy's name right, for God's sakes. And, it's so funny. But, but you guys hit on the head. We got to win games. That's what's going to make all this go away. And, but it is amazing the disconnect. Even living here in Savannah, I run into people and they the first thing that comes out of people's mouth is, well, so when are you guys moving to L.A.? And I just start laughing,
Hey, Clint, we just had a caravan up there, and we were pushing real hard. There's a sports station up there, WZAT, and we gave them a great deal, and they decided to go with the Falcons. So you need to call them and tell them they made a big mistake.
Okay. I'll do that.
Thank you, man. Yeah.
The general manager to call us.
Wait a minute. Hey, Joe, can you give yourself a cha-ching right there?
Thanks for calling, Clint. Thanks for coming out.
See you later, Clint. All right, we move along. We've got James in West Liberty, Kentucky. Then we break, and then it's football, hopefully. James, you're on.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, you guys are the reason I listen in from miles away here in Kentucky. I've always been a Jaguars fan since I lived in Florida. Moved around the country. I'm glad that you guys finally, pardon the expression, gangbang Michael Lombardi, finally gave him some truth. You guys
gave Please don't use him. That expression again.
it's frustrating because, for someone that was supposedly with Al Davis, obviously they don't know football because it's been just terrible. Wasn't he the guy that drafted Jamarcus Russell and he says he knows quarterbacks? Does anyone
know
that?
I don't know whether he was the guy that he was not the personnel boss out there.
Okay.
Al Davis
I'm not
was.
Sure on that one.
Yeah, when Al was alive, you couldn't pin it on anyone but Al. Okay. We'll have to dig into that one and find out.
Okay. And then as far as what's his name, the buffoon, I think Greg Jones needs to personally meet him and tell him the personal information. about our team. No one wants to mess with Greg Jones.
I like that idea, James.
Fullback to fullback.
Let the hammer take care of it.
Got a tweet.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, guys.
No. Go ahead, John. I thought you were.
Well, no, I got a tweet from Maximo Reyna. You guys better rein in Tony before he hurts somebody. Hashtag Evans buffoon.
The problem is, right now I'm on the hour list. I ain't
Tony's going to hurt his hip.
I hurt myself. I got logs to back me up on that one.
Well, all I know is I just watched Dave Lapham, the former Bengals offensive tackle, on NFL Network talking about his team.
Oh, so they actually got somebody from the team to talk about the team that knows
neither
the team.
Neither one of you guys are going to be doing that anytime soon.
Hmm.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Let's break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the defense and get you set for Friday night right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, let's talk defense here with about 13 minutes left in the show. Where do you want to start? Defensive line and how deep that group is?
I mean, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but
let's just talk about the rookies.
Yeah, because there's some people that I think, you know, when you come here on Friday night, there's some young players that you want to watch. And before we get to the rookies, I want to point out one in particular. I think it's having a very, very good training camp quietly, and that's C.J. Mosley. The depth chart came out. C.J. Mosley is still ahead of Terrence Knighton on the depth chart, which is kind of – let me say this. When you look at the depth chart, at left tackle, obviously you have rookie from last year, Will Rackley. He's still listed as the starting guard. On the defensive depth chart, C.J. Mosley is listed as the starter at one defensive tackle and Tyson Alualu the other. And that I don't think there's anything secretive about that, but C.J. Mosley is having a very good training camp. And Terrence Knighton is going to have to earn that way back. Now, Terrence is looking good and his weight's down and all signs are encouraging, but folks, watch number 99 because he's having a good camp.
Well, and what that tells, and you're right, and he's played outstanding. But the bigger picture on that one is how deep we are at defensive tackle.
Very deep.
Because whether Terrence is the starter or CJ's the starter, you're going to rotate that position throughout the game. And so now there's not going to be a drop-off. If your starters end up being Tyson and Terrence, there's not going to be any drop-off when C.J. Mosley comes in. And another guy playing very well and showing explosion is De'Anthony Smith. He's showing some quickness and some explosion. And we have been waiting to see that since he got hurt his rookie camp. Now, we'll wait to see if it goes on into the games and if he continues to progress. And then the rookie behind all those guys is Jairus Pendleton, who shows flashes.
Yep, flashes.
Shows flashes of really impressive stuff. Now, the consistency's not there, and a lot of times that's what happens when you're a rookie, but the raw power and the raw ability is there. So we just mentioned five guys right there that make you very deep at the defensive tackle position. And then when you go outside to the defensive end, a guy that he's going to have bumps and bruises along the way, and he's going to go through some tough times as a rookie because at defensive end pass rusher, it's just hard as a rookie. But Andre Branch has impressed me. Just the pure athletic ability and the explosiveness from him. We haven't had that. We said this last week since Tony Bracken's outside, and he might be the most athletic player on the field for the defense.
And he had a little bit of a dip the last couple of days. But it's what you know, you guys know it far better than I.
It's week two.
It's right.
Yeah,
it's
it
the
happens.
Normal. But overall, when you look at the package of what he's done, as a camp, he's a guy you look at and they are more convinced than ever that they've got something there.
I hope so. I really hope so. You know, but he's one of those guys you want to see in a game.
Sure.
That's why I'm looking so much forward to Friday night. A couple names also
to watch.
Can we
say a defensive end real quick before you go to the other names? One concern I do have about the defensive end position with the injury of Austin Lane, not very deep. And besides Jeremy Mincy, who is that hold the point big right end?
Well, that would have been Austin Lane.
It would have been. That's my point.
He's got
with the
foot.
You worry. I worry a little bit about that right defensive end position. Jeremy Mincy can hold the point. He's a physical, tough guy. But you don't
can
have
Gray
that.
Can move out and do that a little bit?
Who?
Audrey Gray, a little bit? Or no?
Yeah, I mean, he could do some of that. And then one other defensive tackle that's got some ability maybe even to do that is Corey Irvin.
Mm-hmm.
But you need somebody, you know, at right end, or excuse me, at left end, who can hold that point, take on a double team, you know, and make it difficult to run the ball. And there's with the injury to Austin Lane, as deep as we are inside at defensive tackle, a little bit thinner outside.
You ready for the rookies?
Yes.
The undrafted guys, you know, because every year that's like a bonus. If you can get an undrafted rookie that kind of shines, boy, what a benefit to your team that is. And he's been talked about. Julian Stanford, the young player from Wagner, looks good, number 57. And another guy that's looked good, too, is Antonio Denard, wears number 16.
Undrafted from Langston.
Langston. Where is Langston?
Same, right next to Wagner.
Wagner's on Staten Island. Oh. I will look up Langston.
I don't know where either of them are.
I thought it was in Tennessee, but I'll find out.
Yeah, I knew that Wagner was, you know, in one of the boroughs of New York.
Staten Island.
But Langston, I have no idea.
Here's my question, and I still know. How does – because Julian Stanford has not just done it during practice. He flashed in the scrimmage, too. He looked outstanding in the scrimmage.
And even other players kind of look at this guy and go, man.
How did he end up he's big. He runs a 4.45 40. He looks
– It's in Langston, Oklahoma.
He looks natural.
Where?
Langston Oklahoma.
Okay. I was going to say
He looks natural. Sure, he plays well in space off the ball. Mm-hmm. How does Julian Stanford end up at Wagner?
I asked him that the other day. He goes, I don't know.
And then –
Some guys are late developers.
Yeah, I mean, guess. And, you know –
Yeah, look at David Robinson. I remember watching David Robinson, the basketball player, playing in high school when he went to Osborne Park, and he was a joke. We used to make fun of him. And all of a sudden, he goes to Navy.
I won't make fun of him anymore.
No, but for real, in high school, he was this awkward, uncoordinated basketball player that we used to laugh at. When Billy King, who was the NCAA Defensive Player of the Year that played at Duke, was at my high school, and Billy used to kill him. I mean, kill him. And then David goes to Navy. I mean, some people are just late developers.
And now he's one of the top 50 players.
He's one of the greatest players of all time.
Right.
You Amazing. Know, Antonio Denard, the corner I talked about from the Langston School. His dad played pro ball, I guess, for a couple different teams. Ends up at a small school. He might have been another example of a late developer. Right.
And I saw him returning some kicks.
He's got some skills now. I mean, he may not know exactly what he's doing yet, but he's a guy that kind of makes you go, yeah, okay, that guy's got something there. You know, so, and on offense, I mean, you got a couple names on offense. To me, Matt Veldman's been fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And fans are going to get to see a bunch of him in the preseason, number 85. North Dakota State.
Kevin Elliott.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guy
who's Kevin Elliott, number 87.
The rookie who's flashed the most for me on offense, obviously, Justin hasn't been here, is Kevin Elliott.
Well, and he hadn't just flashed on offense.
No, special teams.
Special teams, he's always the first one down the field. Yesterday's practice, mm-hmm. he had a peelback block on Julian Stanford, laid him out. In today's practice, he had a block on Derek Cox, put him on the ground. You know, I mean,
and he catches everything that goes to him.
He just got to learn exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I think, but he's a guy that also is flash and looks good. Obviously, you got to see these guys.
So those are three undrafted guys that kind of make you go, all right. You know?
Yeah, but preseason's to be critical for these guys. This is where. No two-a-days, shorter camp, less opportunities to show something on the field. Preseason is going to be critical for all the guys we just talked about. They are going not just have to flash, they're going to have to do something that shows this staff, both on special teams and also when they get chances on offense and defense, that they're part of the 53, that they're going to earn a spot. You're always fighting uphill as an undrafted free agent. You know, draft picks have a leg up on you because there's invested draft picks and more invested money in those guys. But they're going to have to flash on the field.
Also something to watch in the remainder of training camp. In today's practice, Eben Britton was taken out of some of the drills to let rest. Cameron Bradfield was inserted in the starting lineup. That's going to be a battle.
You like him. You have since he played in Pittsburgh last week.
He was one of them undrafted rookies we were talking about last year. And everybody's like, he's just blowing Jaguars. He's drinking the teal Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but and Jeff's not the only one talking about him. If you – I haven't been at every practice like Jeff, but been at most of them, and you walk around and you listen, Cameron Bradfield's a guy that they think can play and contribute and is a guy that's only going to get better. He has one of the strongest offensive linemen, one of the most athletic guys, ran a 4.8 40, big,
strong,
long arm.
Athletic, got good feet.
Yeah, he's a guy.
This is the first time, though, that we've seen him move to right tackle was today.
Well, I was surprised. And I don't know if because Evan was in full pads.
Yeah, but
we don't get the injury reports. We're like just like the fans, and so we just watch and observe. I don't know if he was, but he was held out of a lot. And then not only with the first team did Cameron take the right tackle, then Daniel Baldridge was the second team right tackle. Evan didn't get a lot of reps today.
No, he didn't get any of the reps and team stuff. But watching that today, that just made you go, that could end up turning out to be a battle, because when Cameron did practice the first couple of days because he had an injury. And so all of a sudden when he came back, then it was just exclusively left tackle. And now he's kind of gotten back, you know, his feet back under him. And here all of a sudden, you know, Evan doesn't do a lot of work for whatever reason. This is the first time. Last year now they flipped Cameron Bradfield back and forth left and right side. But this is the first time that Cameron played right tackle. And in today's practice, he had an outstanding practice.
He looked good
at right tackle.
The other interesting thing on the offensive line, Jeff, because of the injury at Will with Will Rackley, John Estes getting reps at left guard when Meester's at center. But when Meester's not practicing, Estes is starting center, and Mike Brewster, the rookie, is ran some reps with the ones at the left guard position.
Yeah, he's been in there. And another name to watch, the former defensive lineman from last week, Drew Nowak. The first day that he was moved to offensive line, which was Sunday, and you could just tell, you're like, I don't know. And today, looked pretty good.
Well, he's an athlete, so yeah. he's a guy that, you know, long shot. But if everyone gets healthy, he's a guy that you can hide on practice squad.
Be a developmental
squad.
Guy.
Yeah, hand him on practice squad and watch him develop, because he's definitely, you know, we've all been there, you know, when the offensive line gets banged up and they move down the line defensive lineman that you know is not going to make the team defensively, or
that
has
was
a,
the best thing
has
they
a long
ever
shot
for him.
But I've also seen when they move those guys over and there's no chance,
right?
They can play offensive line.
Yeah, but that was the best thing they could have done
for
Drew Nowak.
Drew can play. He shows some potential.
Some good hands.
Long way to go, but some potential.
But how is he going to make this team?
Well, that's what Mike said.
With Tyson Alualu, Terrence Knight, Jarris Pendleton, CJ Mosley. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think that was a brilliant move on their part.
And
they might find something.
And from the looks of it, Drew's smart enough to understand that this is his chance, and he's embracing it and working hard trying to get better.
Yeah, Mike on Sunday, when the move happened, Mike Mularkey said, you know, I like a lot about what this guy brings. We'd like him to go over to offensive guard where he's got a chance to make the team. You know, and you know, clearly with those five guys, defensive tackle, he wasn't going to, you know, have any chance.
All right, so what famous alum went to his school? He went to – Nowak went to Western Michigan.
Oh, Joe Schmenge.
Joe Schmenge.
99.
So, something to watch for. You know, wide receivers, you know, I hope they have a good day, a good night on Friday night, because they need to have it.
And Laurent Robinson has shown a lot in the last week. I mean, he's still dropping just like they all are, but he's getting
not
open
as much
consistently. And
Cecil Shorts has had some nice practice too.
He has.
He may have been so far the most probably the most improved player in training camp.
Cecil Shorts.
Yep.
I'd say him and Blaine.
Yep.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
You'd say Blaine.
Yep.
No.
You obviously haven't watched the NFL Network.
There's a whole lot of optimism. I understand that.
Right.
But yeah. All right. Hey, fun show. Thanks.
Great show.
Take care.